But thank you for being here this morning. I appreciate it. We spring our clocks forward an hour and all the rain, and you guys came on out. That's awesome. So let's get ready to have a good worship. I wanted to just start off with a quick little note, sharing a little bit of the stuff. Ralph Martin was my life coach, and he made me into a life coach. And one of the things that I coach on with people is living internally and not externally, not letting outside stuff change your life. I'm a big Andy Griffith fan. I love Andy Griffith. I love the show. I love everything about it. And if you know anything about the show, I was thinking about it coming to church this morning. The reason I love it so much, because everything always turned out well. That show never went off and it left you hanging or anybody got bad stuff. Look at all the youth up here, aren't they? Don't they look good? Right there, look at there. Woohoo! But the Andy Griffith Show always ended, everything worked well. But one of my favorite episodes on Andy Griffith was an episode where Andy and Goober were going to give Barney a surprise. That's who he was. They were going to give him a surprise birthday party. And so they were trying to figure out that when he came into the office, he was the deputy, that they were going to try to get rid of him, get him home. And so the episode started out with Barney walking to work. And, man, he was whistling. He was tipping his cap to everybody. He was just having the best day ever. And then when he came into the courthouse there, Andy and Goober started telling him how bad he looked. They kept saying, Barney, do you feel okay? Because you don't look really good. Now, he came in whistling and just feeling great, but it was really cool in that episode because in just a few minutes, he went home to go back and get in the bed. They talked him completely out of how he felt that day, and I use that sometimes with my clients because we do the same thing every day. We let outside stuff change how we start. Kitty will tell you a lot of times when I get up in the morning, I get up out of bed and I say these words, let's get this party started. And I'm ready to get the day going, okay? And I try to be real protective not to let something outside of me change that. I want to have a party every day. I want to have fun. I want to go out and do good stuff. I want to speak stuff to people. And so my message to you this morning, Buren's got a good word coming for you, but just remember this. Live your life internally, not externally. Yeah. Try not to let something outside of you change you, all right? Let's worship.
Stand with us in worship.
Hear the word roaring as thunder with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over, where there is a cloud beginning to swell. To the skies heavy with blessing, lift your eyes, offer your heart. Jesus Christ, open the heavens, but now we receive the Spirit of God. We receive your rain. We receive. Seed buried in sorrow, you will call.
Song, there's a lyric that says that he brings light into darkness. And when I was just told and given the opportunity to say something, I was just immediately struck by this. And I've been going through something the past couple months that's been pretty dark for me personally, that I don't talk about to lots of folks. And it's not just me. I know that you may be going through something personally that's just this dark time in your life, but I was quickly reminded he brings light to the darkness. And I thought about my past and how many times I thought I was going through darkness, but I didn't see the light. I didn't just put it in my mind. There is light here. God is with me always, always. And I was just overwhelmed with that song, the always, because sometimes when I'm riding to work by myself, I have lots of times to think. And I've really, really thought to myself, where in the world would I be without him? Where would I be? And I don't know, because I know that he has brought light to my darkness every single time. Every time. So whatever darkness you might be going through, God gives life to us. He gives love. And he's in us, inside of us every day. We just have to choose to believe it and know he's there. And to live that positive attitude and to know that when we get darkness, we're going to come out of the other side. We're going to come out of the other side. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that?
You give life. You are love. Bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. Light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. You holy. You give life. You are love. Light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Would you pray for me? I said, absolutely. So I began to pray, and the way I began to pray for her was just thanking God that she was already healed and that she already had wholeness within her, and just to receive it and release it. And so that's what we prayed. We were in agreement with each other, and about 60 seconds later, I said, how are you feeling? She goes, Mom, it's gone. Immediately gone. And what I started thinking about, you know, Anna's 13. And she wasn't warring and battling over receiving what was already given to her. She wasn't warring and battling over, really even battling over the nausea. All she did in that moment was receive what's already been given. And this next song's called The War Is Over. And as I meditated on that morning with Anna, and I meditated on this song, I began to think how many things in our lives, and I'm not just talking about physical wholeness, but how many things do we battle and we war over that He has already won and given us? How many things do we allow that do we battle with and war with when He has said, these are my gifts to you. I withhold no good thing from you. And so this next song, as we sing it, I want you to think and meditate on not any battle going on. Take that and just throw it aside. Instead, you meditate on every good gift, because if you're battling with fear, go ahead and just put that aside and say, He has already won the war of peace and given that to me. And so we're going to worship, and let this be your anthem. Let this be your life's anthem. Let this be today just an anthem in your life, that everything you need, He has already given you. And open up your arms and your hearts like Anna did in that moment and receive it. Amen. war is over, turn around, lay your weapons on the ground. The smoke is fading before the light, the dead are coming back to life. He's made a way for us, born for glory out of dust, children held within the arms of peace. He's made a way for all, mercy waits where sinners fall. He is our blood of Jesus over. my battle cry. We're one by Jesus Christ, and all we receive, every good gift from you, and all we let it pour out, and we cry, Jesus. This new season that's coming upon us, God, and we enter it with thanksgiving. We enter it with hearts that are open to receive all that you've already given us, and we choose to walk in it, to walk in the victory that is ours. We choose, God, to walk in all of your gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. How's everybody? Don't you love this praise team? I tell you. Yeah, you can clap. Patty cake. If you're going to clap, clap, right? Your connection card this morning, I want to share something with you that we started Wednesday night, and I want to continue it this morning. This past week, we always have prayer requests, you know, that people give us, and we pray for them, and our prayer team prays for them. And we want you to do that continually. You put those prayer requests on there for people with physical needs or whatever. But this past week, somebody put a prayer request that we haven't had in a long time. And the prayer request was for somebody's soul. Prayer request was simply for someone to be renewed in spirit and awakened to God. And so Wednesday night, we started something we're going to do for several months. And I had we have a service the first Wednesday night, and people put a name on that. I put it in my Bible. We're going to pray for them every single day for a month. And we're going to pray that they have this spiritual renewal, this awakening to God. And at the end of a month, we're going to see what happened. And at the end of the month, you're going to be asked to put another name on there, or if you want to put that same name on there. But I want to assure you that we're going to pray every single day for these people to have a spiritual awakening to God. Isn't that good? I mean, really, isn't that what we ought to be praying for more than anything else? I'm here today because of my mother's prayers. I know that. I'm alive today because of my mother's prayers. So it works. So on the back of your connection card today, whatever else you put on there, put a name of somebody you want to see have a spiritual renewal and awakening to God. Okay? Okay. Michael, you're a good man. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he wants you to know that you don't have to fret nor worry one iota about your future. He's got your future under control, and all is good. Your best days are ahead of you, and you just don't fret about anything in the future from this moment on. All is well and all is good. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about two names of God this morning. Then we're going to finish up next Sunday with the last name of God, which is a characteristic of Him. But let me give you a advertisement for the few weeks after next Sunday. We're going to close out the names of God. Then that next Sunday, which is Palm Sunday, Ralph's going to be sharing about your spiritual DNA. And then the next Sunday, which is Easter, we're going to show you in 2 weeks in a row how that in your physical body, you can see there's something about God in you that maybe you don't even know. And that God placed it in us for a reason. And I'm excited about Easter. I've been studying about, as a matter of fact, I've been studying more for Easter than I have for today. We may talk a little bit about that. But we're going to talk this morning about, again, two names of God. But before we do, let's rehearse a minute. Let's do that, all right? Let's go back through our names because this is important. We started off with He is Elohim. He is the ruler of the universe. He's the creator of all things, and He did that by the speaking it. Aren't you glad that He framed this world by the words? We can frame our world by what we say. We speak into existence in our own life. One of the ways you're going to pray, we'll share this a little bit later on. Don't just pray for people to have a spiritual awakening. Speak it into their life. When you pray for them, begin to say, I see them awakening, and just speak it over them, over them, over them, and over them. All right? We have the same God in us that created this world. They have the Elohim in us. We can speak things. He is Jehovah, the self-existent one. Everybody somewhere along the way is going to ask the question, where did God come from? Did anybody here never ask that question? Everybody asked the question, where did God come from? He is self-existence. He always has been, always will be. We know time because we have a beginning, but he's outside of time. Eternity has no sense of time. One day with the Lord's 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. There's no time with God. He is Adonai. He's our master, our Lord, not to master and lord over us so that we can master and lord over our situations in our own life. Aren't you glad that you can be an overcomer? We can overcome. Again, we sing about restoration. I love restoration. I love redemption. I love forgiveness. But something I love more than that is winning. Overcoming the battle so that I don't have to have restoration. I've been restored. I like just maintaining better than I like restoration. Believe me, restoration is tough. It is hard work. It's not easy. And then He is our El Shaddai. He's our almighty nourisher. We are nourished daily by the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. He is Jehovah Nisi, our banner of victory. As we lift our hands and unto the Lord, we're lifting a banner of victory. Every time we raise our hands, we're saying we are victorious. It's our banner of victory. He is Jehovah Makadesh, our sanctifier. And He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace, we talked about last week. But today we want to talk about He is Jehovah Tiskanu, our righteousness. Aren't you glad He's our righteousness? Aren't you glad? Look in Jeremiah 23, verses 5 through 6. Jeremiah says, "For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I'll raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land." Now, we're going to see something about righteousness this morning I've never seen before, and I'm pretty sure probably maybe you've never seen before. What is really righteousness? He said He will do what is just and right throughout the land. And this will be His name. The Lord is our righteousness. And that day Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. What righteousness is, I want you to hear this. Righteousness is just and it's right. It is just and it's right. I've heard some things sometimes spoken. War is not right or wrong. It's got to be determined if it is a just war. Well, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about what just is, what it means to have justice, because God's justice is not like our justice. God's justice is not like our justice. I was, again, studying for Easter, and I'm studying the seven. I love the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. And of those seven sayings, he hung on the cross 6 hours. And in the first 3 hours, he only made one statement. But he made that statement over and over and over again. He didn't just say it one time. The little Greek says, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Every mockery, every drop of blood, every pain he was feeling, everything that was happening to his body, he was looking at those that was causing it, that was doing it, and he kept saying, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It was so powerful that a Roman soldier at the foot of the cross looked up. Now, he had heard of his miracles. He had heard of his teachings, but that's not what got him. What got him was, here is an individual right in the midst of their pain, not afterwards, while it's happening, he's forgiving them. You know, it's one thing to forgive somebody after the fact, but it's something else is while it's happening to you, you're in the posture of forgiveness the whole time it's going on. It caused a Roman soldier to look up and say, truly, this was the Son of God. Not because he did miracles, not because he was a great teacher, not because he did all these other things. To see a person extend forgiveness right in the middle, in the midst of their pain, that's what's awakened him to, this truly must be the Son of God. In Deuteronomy 25 and 15, and just once I get through this scripture, just hit the next one. Yes, always use honest weights and measures so that you may enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I'm going somewhere with this. Righteousness is justice and doing right. And the scales, are all, we all have seen the scales, right? And we weigh things by so much in this one and so much in this one. And we want the scales of justice to always be like this, right? Aren't you glad in the kingdom of God that the scales of justice are not like this? It's not so much of his grace and love and so much of what I do. Matter of fact, if you saw the scales, the spiritual scales of justice, and we put God on one scale and we put ourselves on the other scale, we'd probably be something like this. And we would call that not a balanced scale, but in God's kingdom, it's balanced. In God's kingdom, in God's view, in Christ's look at you, it's balanced. No matter how heavy a weight of disobedience or sin or wrongdoing that may be on this side, there was so much good and so much power and so much right on this side that it balances it out anyway. That it actually causes it. It may look like this, but once Christ looks at it, he brings it, and spiritually, it looks like this. It's all balanced out. Because righteousness is right standing with God and right standing with man. In Job 31 and 6, he says, let God weigh me on the scales of justice, for he knows my integrity. Job said, let God weigh me. I know his scales. Even Job knew his scales. In Isaiah 61 and 10, he says, I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation, draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with his jewels. Thank God, he said, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in Philippians 4, verse 4, He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul's saying that from prison, by the way. Paul's rejoicing, writing to the church of Philippi, full of joy. Wow. How do you do that? How do you do that? How do you sit in a jail cell and rejoice? He rejoiced in the Lord. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness and your forbearance be known unto all men. The Lord is near. Or the Lord is near to everybody. God is no more near to one person than he is to another person. The Lord is at hand. And so he said, let your gentleness and forbearance be known unto all men. One translation said, the old King James says, let your moderation be known unto all men. All translations had a real difficulty. It's like trying to translate grace and interpret grace. Gentleness and forbearance was a very difficult thing to define. But here's the definition of it. Gentleness and forbearance is to know when to release the letter of the law and let the Spirit of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God come in. It's when you don't judge everything according to the scales that mankind uses, but you do it according to the scales of grace and mercy. Two students in a school both have tests. One comes back, he's got 80% right. Another one comes, he's got 50% right. The teacher grades them both the same and says both passed. And both did just as good as the other. Because one has a home life that is all good. One's got a home life that everything goes well all the time in that family. Mom and dad are there, everything's good. This other one, it's not that good. And so the teacher looks at him and does the scales of spiritual justice and says, I'm not going to look at this one different from this one because this one's life is different from this one's life. God always looks at his children and he balances the scale, not according to the justice of mankind, but according to his justice that he lays out for them. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad my scales oftentimes look like this to myself, but when I see it spiritually, he's balanced it out. When I see it spiritually, he's balanced it out. He's brought it to a place that it really needs to be. So he said, let your gentleness and forbearance, let that be known unto all men. The Lord is not nearer one person than he is another person. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, pray. And I shared it Wednesday night. There's three types of prayer. There's prayer, and there is, we're always with thanksgiving. And so you can pray about everything, okay? And that means, you know, I don't mind you praying for a parking space up front. If that means that much to you, go for it. I'm not going to pray for a park. But if you want to, it's okay. You can pray. And for some people, it so blesses them when they pray for a parking spot up front and they get around and they got one. I mean, they just start rejoicing in the Lord. So you can pray about everything. God, protect me on this trip. Lord, be with us as we go on this trip. May your guardian angels go before us and behind us. That's praying for everything. But then he says, the Bible talks about any fervent prayer, and a fervent prayer is a prayer that's taken a little bit further. It's a prayer that somebody asks you to pray for something in their life or for someone in their life. And maybe it's one of their children, or maybe it's their husband, or maybe it's their wife. And you put yourself in their place and you begin to pray as if you are experiencing what they're experiencing. You know what I'm saying? You can contrive that experience. You can put yourself in their shoes and feel what they feel and pray with a fervency. Then he said, let your requests be made known. Let your requests be specific. How many ever heard of Paul Youngi Cho? Paul Youngi Cho pastors the largest church in the world in Seoul, Korea. I don't hear much about him now. I don't know what's going on there. But 30 years ago, he had over 100,000 people. In Seoul, Korea, 100,000 people. In praise and worship, they had a bell, David, on the pulpit. And in praise and worship, they were so exuberant, and there was so much praise and worship going on that when Paul Young and Cho got time ready to preach, he had to go up and take the bell and start ringing the bell so people would calm down so they could hear him preach. That's kind of rejoicing in the Lord always, isn't it? And again, I say rejoice. We got to ring a bell to stop. You know, Paul Young and Cho had to ring a bell to stop. Moses one time had to tell the people, stop bringing your offerings. We got too much. Wow. I don't see today we having to ring many bells to get people quiet. Neither saying, okay, we got plenty of money. Y'all just don't bring any more money for a while. We got more than we know what to do with. But you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be in the kingdom. That's the way it's really supposed to be in the kingdom. So I want to close this out by showing you today an old, old psalm that's probably everybody here can quote it. And it's the name of the Lord called Raha, or Rahi, or whatever. And it means the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. David didn't write this in the beginning of his life. He didn't write this in the middle of his life. He wrote this at the end of his life. When he looked back over and saw everything that his shepherd had done for him and began to recount what the Lord had done for him, and he begins by saying, first and foremost, the Lord is not our shepherd. He is my shepherd. I remember when I rededicated my life to the Lord, Barbara and I, 40-some-odd years ago, I worked at this factory, and the owner of it was a Christian man, strong Christian man, and I don't know how he found out, but on a Monday morning after the Sunday night that Barbara and I rededicated our life to the Lord, he made a beeline to me that Monday morning, and he said, Buren, I'm so happy to hear what happened to you last night. I was just kind of standing there in shock, first of all. And then I remember looking at him. I said, well, you know, my dad, he's a pastor. And he looked at me and said, I don't mean nothing. That you can't go to heaven. I remember the old saying, you can't go to heaven on somebody else's coattail. And that's what he used, that terminology. He said, well, you can't go to heaven on your daddy's coattail. It's a personal thing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not have any needs, that the Lord shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. He leads me beside the still waters. What waters still? Still waters are deep waters. Still waters is not troubled waters. The troubled soul can't be at peace. Our shepherd leads us to the still, untroubled waters. Say hallelujah. Say the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down and green pastures. Now, I want to share you something. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you or not. You ready? When the Lord is really your shepherd, he makes you lie down in green pastures. Sheep are notorious for doing the same thing day in and day out. They will get in a pasture and go around and around the same path until they've gnawed it down to just... Let me tell you something about shepherds, too, I learned this week. Can I just shotgun it this morning? Thank you. I used to preach David. I've preached David in a lot of different ways. I preached David maybe shaking in his sandals when he's standing before Goliath. I preached it that way. I preached that, you know, he picked up 5 stones just in case he missed with the first one. I mean, I've kind of said it in a lot of different ways until I found out something this week about shepherds. Shepherds not this picture you see. Is this shepherd holding the lamb? You ever seen that little pale shepherd, little pale-faced Jesus painting where he's holding a little lamb? Now, that's cute and that's sweet. Shepherds don't look like that. Shepherds, they knew how to use the slingshot. They knew how to use their rod and staff. They knew how to protect their sheep. That's why when David went to face Goliath, he didn't go timidly. He didn't go wondering. He had already killed a lion and a bear. What is a man to a lion and a bear? Think about that for a moment. A lion. He killed a lion with a club. That lion's coming at him. He hits the lion with this club and kills a lion. He kills a bear. And so when he comes to Goliath, he says, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine to defile the armies of God? Who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are?" This man walked in there with total confidence. He was a shepherd who knew what he was doing. We have a shepherd who knows what he is doing. He is our great shepherd. He knows. And the main thing they do, they make sure they're fed, they make sure they're protected, and they make sure they're led and guided. And that's why God so rebuked shepherds. He would rebuke shepherds and say, "You're not feeding the flock, you're not taking care of the flock." God told me years ago in James chapter 3, he says, "Not everybody should seek to be teachers, for they shall receive the greater condemnation." Man, it is a huge responsibility to break down the word of God and try to feed sheep. That is not something to take lightly at any time in life. He says, "You better study to show yourself approved, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Because the truth will what? It'll set you free. And so we're not talking about a weak shepherd. We're talking about a shepherd who knows how to protect his sheep. This is not a, I don't care how many funeral brochures is on the back of, it's not a funeral scripture. It's not for funerals. I've said this before. Every pastor we've trained here and every pastor that's had funerals, I always say weddings for funerals and funerals for weddings. I can never stop saying that. I don't know why. But I said, don't ever read 23rd Psalm at a funeral. Don't ever read 23rd Psalm. It has nothing to do with death. Well, he says, "Lead me through the valley of the shadow of death." Shadow. Let's get to that in a minute. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Every day, every moment, my soul can be restored. In the moment it's weakened, in the same moment it can be strengthened. In the moment it's gone awry, in the same moment he's right there leading and guiding. He's not beating the sheep. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death was when the sheep was going through the valleys and the cliffs was all around them. And that's where the predators were. That's where the wolves were. That's where they would come out and get the sheep. And he says, he's there with me in the valley of the shadow of death where all these wolves, because they got a club to hit the wolf with. I don't know where it came from. Maybe you've heard this years ago. And Billy, I know it was preached years ago, and I studied it. I've looked, and can't tell you how many commentaries gone online to try to find this, and I've never seen it. But it was said that he would take the rod, and for a sheep that goes astray, they would break the sheep's legs so he wouldn't stray off. I don't know where that came from, Bro Ralph. That rod is not to break sheep's legs. It is to break wolves' heads. It is to beat the enemy off the sheep. It's not for the sheep. Gosh. It's terrifying to even think about a shepherd breaking a lamb's sheep, feet, legs, whatever. It's not for the... If I ever had a big conference, I'd call it a rod-burning conference. Shepherds bring you rods and burn them because you use them for the wrong reason. They're not to beat the sheep up. Right. It's not what we do. It's not what we're supposed to do. I mean, you know, some people go to church, and if they don't get beat up, they don't feel like they've been to church. There's a word for that in psychological terms. That's sick. Preacher, you really stepped on my toes today, man. Man, you really got on me today. Thank you, man. Thank you, man. I ain't never thanked anybody for beating me up. You're sick. That's sick. Beat me up and I'll feel better about it. No. Build me up and I'll feel better about it. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but only that which is used for the edifying, for the building up of others in love. I imagine that goes for preaching too, don't you think? Yeah. I would think that goes for preaching. Kitty, you can go to the piano. I think that goes for preaching. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I'll give you a story that happened to me in India years ago, and my nephew Mark was with me, and shepherds go into the villages, and they will. Everybody just about in the villages got a sheep, and the shepherds will go in and take those sheep, and they'll go out for a few days and take them out and pasture them, lead them, you know, from pasture to pasture. Well, one night next to our compound we're staying in, there is several shepherds, and there's got to be 5,000 sheep. I've never seen so many sheep in my life. And I'm not stopping. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and your time zone's all quacky, and I couldn't sleep. So I'm up there, and Mark comes up there. He joins me, and I said, "Mark, watch this." He said, "What you gonna do?" I said, "We're gonna have fun with these sheep." So I start going, bah, bah. Well, one by one, they started, bah. I mean, it crescendoed. It was hundreds of sheep at 2 o'clock in the morning. And me and Mark just dying laughing. We think this is so funny. And about that time, about three shepherds came up to the wall of the compound, and they said something. It wasn't sweet, I assure you. They was letting me know in Telugu, their language, they was letting me know, you better leave my sheep alone, or I'm fixing to come over there with this club and get you. They was protecting those sheep. A shepherd's a good shepherd. He calls his sheep by name. He's our great shepherd. And he said, "And they're in my hand, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand." And then he said, "And my Father, he's greater than I am, and no man shall pluck him out of his hand." And so I don't know if you've ever seen it or not, but this is where you are with God. You in Jesus' hand, he underneath you. God's hand is above you. You couldn't get out if you tried to jump out. You can't get out of his hand. You can't get out of that. Aren't you glad? There's nowhere to go. He's got you. He's got your back. He's got your front. He's got your sides. He's got you covered. He's got you covered. He said, he anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. In Eastern, we when people would come to a neighbor's house, first thing they would do when they'd come in is anoint them with a fragrance, a sweet fragrance of oil. Isn't that sweet? I think today it would be, welcome, I'm so glad you're here. Been looking forward to this time. Then they would fill them a cup of wine. And what did he say? My cup runs over. They would fill them a cup of wine and literally pour it so carefully until it started rolling out. My cup runs over. And this is what it meant to them. The first sign of anointing with oil, they was giving respect to them. They were honoring them with respect. The second, when they poured the wine until it overflowed, they were saying, as long as you are here, you have everything that you need. You're not going to barely meet. I anoint their head with oil. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love that interpretation. I like this literally happens to shepherds too, what they do when the mating season comes along. And these big old rams with the big old horns, they begin to vie for their sheep. And they will square off and just come at each other at full blast. You ever seen it on TV? And bam, hit their horns. Well, shepherds have lost some of their rams because of that. And so what they would do when they would just keep ramming each other, they would put oil all over their head. And so the next time they came and they hit each other, they would glance off and go rolling by. And it was like, it was so embarrassing to them, they didn't do it again. We need our heads anointed when we start butting heads to see how ridiculous and silly it really is. I've had the Lord anoint my head with oil sometimes when I was butting heads with my wife. And then you realize, how ridiculous can this be? How crazy can this be? Let's stand. We have a shepherd who's a good shepherd. I want the praise team to be coming. I don't know what song y'all want to sing, but just choose it accordingly. A good shepherd who cares far more than we could ever begin to imagine how he cares. I've made a decision a long time ago to try to be a good shepherd. One of the most humbling things that ever happened to me as a pastor is I was preaching years ago, and I preached a passage of scripture. And when I was headed home, the Spirit of the Lord said, I didn't say it like that. How many know it's just not what you say sometimes, it's how you say it? And man, when the Spirit of God said to me, I didn't say that like that. You know, there's a scripture, a beautiful scripture, it says, and I've seen it preached these two different ways. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killed those who come before me. How often I would have gathered you together as a hen does her little ones, but you would not. You can say that like that, or you can say that in such anger. It doesn't have the same meaning. He was saying it just the way he meant it. He would have gathered them together. He would have protected them. There's an old story of a fire that was in a farm and how that everything was burned to just crisp. And there was this, which one protects the chicks? The hen or hen? So much I know I'm a big farmer, you know. And the only thing there was this hymn. My daddy used to tell this story, so if it ain't real, blame it on my daddy. And he said this hen was dead, was burnt. But the farmer went up and pushed the hen and just fell off, and all the little chicks came running out because the hen took all the heat. Aren't you glad you got a shepherd who will take the heat for you? Aren't you glad? You know what what NASA calls when they come back into the atmosphere, the capsule, it turns around when it's coming back through the capsule because it's coming through such heat intensity. They call it the propitiatory shield. They call it that. I don't know if they knew what that was. They call it the propitiatory shield. It takes all the heat when it's coming through the atmosphere, and you have a propitiatory shield for you that takes all the heat for you. He's called Jesus. Son of the great shepherd. I love this term, the great shepherd of our souls. Aren't you glad you got a great shepherd? Aren't you? Aren't you? You got something to say? Right. Go ahead.
I was looking over some notes from a few weeks ago, and Pastor was speaking about the shepherd or the servant who had been forgiven. And he went out and didn't forgive. And as what God showed me in that is that servant who had been released said to the master, I'll repay you. And when he went out and tried to collect, and the person he went to didn't have it, fear gripped him. And he was going to fight for what he could get because in his mind he had said, and with his words he had said, I'm going to repay you. And in that he missed hearing, I'm releasing you from this. Sometimes we don't hear God say, I forgive you, because we've made a decision. We're going to pay back what we owe. And life becomes fearful because we know we can't. We feel the failure of trying to repay the debt we owe. I know a lot of times on the last song we want to pack up, but I'm going to ask you to be very mindful today, that you search your heart and know that you are forgiven. And I want you to hear that from God. I want you to hear that from within in your spirit, that you can't repay that debt. Sure, there are things we do out of the goodness that we're given.
Right.
We do good works because of the salvation. But you can't earn that with good works. And maybe you missed it. Maybe you told God, I'll repay you. And you went out to live a life of the letter. But you are forgiven of something you could never repay.
Right. Would you bow your heads for a moment? And I was on my way to church today, and I this doesn't happen very often, but I basically what I gave you this morning, I only realized I've really preached three messages, and I knew that coming. I knew this was, and I was even having this conversation with the Lord. I don't even know. I was, before I even got up this morning, I started thinking about, I think I'm going to bypass one of these or that. But the Spirit of the Lord kept saying to me, somebody's going to get something in one of those different points that they desperately need today. It's scattered. It's three messages into one. But something was said that you needed to hear today, whatever it was. As Dusty was saying earlier, receive it. Don't just hear it. Because the process of really for the Word taking root in our life is hearing it, accepting it, and receiving it. So I want you to receive today. Lord, today we receive this particular truth that we need today. We've heard it. We're accepting it. We're going to receive it into the depths of our being so that it can bear fruit in our life. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. That, Lord, your word does not return void, but it accomplishes what it sent forth to do. And I thank you, God, for the rain today. I thank you, Lord, for everything that's happening. I thank you for this house. I thank you, Lord, for these families. We bless them today. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen them by your Holy Spirit. May they come to know the depth of your love, how high it is, how wide it is, how deep it is. Lord, may we grow in it on a daily basis. And we just speak that. We thank you for the names that's on these cards today. Lord, that we're going to pray for this next month, that every name that's written down, that there's going to be a spiritual awakening. There's going to be a spiritual renewal in their life. That the Holy Spirit is going to cause the scales to fall from their eyes. And what they wasn't seeing, they're going to see. And that, Lord, you're going to use different individuals to touch their heart and touch their mind and touch their life, Lord, with the right words at the right time. We just release that and we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, instead of passing the buckets, Dave, the ushers, if y'all will just be in the back as people leave, they want to put their tithes and offerings in the bucket as they're leaving. Just make sure that it's available to them. But I want you to take, that's Ron, just I want you to take this next few minutes as we worship and sing this song and take this one particular truth, whatever it was, take this one thing and just meditate on it, think about it and say, this is what I'm going to release in my life. I am going to take this one truth, whether it's about forgiveness, whether it's about whatever it is about, I'm going to receive it today. And thank God I heard it today.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. Darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Have a great day. See you next week.